God is awesome. So very awesome. If you would, get your Bibles out tonight. Thank goodness there's somebody awake. Get your Bibles out tonight. That's even worse than that. There you go. Go to the book of Proverbs, if you would. Proverbs chapter 20. Praise God, Grief Share started tonight. It's a good group, good going, so praise God for that. Thank you, Jesus. Proverbs chapter 20, verse 27 says, "The spirit of a man is the lamp of the Lord, searching all the inner depths of his heart." Now go over now to the book of Genesis, chapter 1. I actually make it 2. Verse 7. "And the Lord God formed man from the dust of the ground and breathed into his nostrils the breath of life. And man became a living being." And man became a living being. God breathed into man and man became a living being. Now go to the book of the Gospel of John chapter 3. Now I'm gonna read from you. I'm so high technical. I got my phone working, so I'm reading from the Message translation. And it says, "How I'm reading Gospel of John chapter 3 verse 4. Let me read back a little bit. It's not gonna make sense. Start with verse 1. "There was a man of the Pharisee sect, Nicodemus, a prominent leader among the Jews. And late one night he visited Jesus and said, 'Rabbi, we know all your teaching is straight from God. No one could do all those things that God has done, and God revealing acts as you do if God were not in it.' And Jesus said, 'You're absolutely right. Take it from me, unless a person is born from above, it is not possible to see what I am pointing to God's kingdom.' How can anyone, said Nicodemus, be born again, who's already been born and grown up? You can't re-enter your mother's womb and be born again. Are you saying that this from a born above talk? What are you saying with this born above?" Excuse me. I keep reading it. May I put some glasses on? He says, "What are you saying with this born from above talk?" That was a little bit different there. Born from above talk. Jesus said, "You're not listening. Let me say it again. Unless a person submits to its original creation, the wind hovering over the water creation, the invisible moving the visible, a baptism into a new life, it's not possible to enter God's kingdom. When you look at a baby, it's just that, a body you can look at and touch. But the person who takes shape within is formed by something you cannot see and touch, the spirit, and becomes a living spirit." When I read that the other day, my spirit just leaped on the inside of me, because I got to thinking about the way that translation said it. And having my grandchildren around me and seeing them and seeing how Dash is starting to develop and he's got to where if you he'll mock you, or not mock you, he'll copy you. If you cough, he goes... And he's kind of got some stuff figured out like that, you know. And so he thinks it's funny, you know. And if you, you know, you do certain things. And so you can watch his eye expressions about what he's thinking and everything. And I'm just watching the little guy. And it's just amazing. He was doing something. And then Laura turned the coffee grinder on. And so it made this noise. And all of a sudden he looks up at me. And then he doesn't want to move his head. Like he doesn't really want to look at what's making the noise. And then his eyes go. You know, and he looks back at me like, "Oh, come get me." I don't know what that noise is, but I don't want to look over there and see it, you know. And you're going to see all this. By looking at his eyes, you can see what, you know, that there's a little guy in this body that can't tell me what he wants to say. But with the expressions of his eyes and his face and his mannerisms and his whatever, he's starting to communicate. He's not just laying there as a little baby. And what the scripture was saying here is that we watch our children grow up and we watch how they develop and we watch this, oh, isn't that cute? And oh, when they did that, they did this and they couldn't say their R's or they couldn't say this. And we, you know, we make all this stuff. We talk about all the things that they do when they're growing up, but we're only looking at the physical. We're looking at the outside. We're never really able. I mean, we see they do something tender. They do something sweet, or aren't they nice? Or, oh, look how sweet. That was so sweet that they did that. But Jesus is saying, when a person is born again, he says, you're not looking at the creation of when the invisible moves the visible, when the Spirit hovered over the waters and created a world, when the Spirit of God is living and abiding and into a person, that's the real person, not the person we see on the outside. And how that all of us are living this life. And we always look at everything from the physical. We look at everything about the physical. Everything in this world is focused about the physical. But he said, that's not even the real thing. He said, the original, it says, unless a person submits to their original creation, when God breathed on the inside of Adam, his breath, his life. God is so life. Listen to me. Nothing can die in God's presence. Nothing can die in God's presence. I remember reading a story of John Lakes when he was in Africa. And the bubonic plague was going around and killing people everywhere. And he was going from village to village and ministering and trying to get people saved and praying for people. And they were still dying everywhere. And he was trying to save as many as he could. And one of the doctors that came, you know, like a Red Cross person. I don't know if it was Red Cross, but that type of person that was trying to help in a natural sense, said, you can't go do this. You're going to contact the bubonic plague. And he says, sir, let me tell you something. He says, get your microscopes now and watch this. And there was apparently when a person dies of the plague, there was a froth that came to the mouth, and that was where the live virus was. And he leaned down and he reached over there and he wiped off the fresh froth off of a person's mouth and rubbed it on his palm of his hand and put it in front of a microscope and said, watch it die. And they said, that's crazy. And they put it underneath and watched it, and they watched it die. He says, you got to understand there's something greater on the inside of me that's out here in this world. There's something greater in me than he that's in this world. There's something that's great life on the inside of me that was breathed in me from the original creation, from our original sense. That even though we were born from our mother's womb, there's something that's inside of us as we've been born again, the Spirit of life that will not allow death, destruction to come, because it's the Spirit of God on the inside of us. But the shame of it is we can grow old in our bodies. Tracy asked me the other day, said, how you doing? I said, my outward man is perishing, but my inward man is being renewed day by day. I don't want to admit it, but it is. But the problem is, you could grow old and the spirit, the real you on the inside, could still be a baby. Because the spirit doesn't grow like our flesh grows. Look, you're going to grow. You're going to get older no matter what happens to you. You can't stop it. You can't go into some, you know, barometric pressure chamber and never grow old again. You can't stand there in the fountain of youth and let the water pour over you and not get old. You're going to get old. You can't do anything about it. Everybody suffering it. You're just a moment older than you were just a second ago. You can't do anything about it. Time's going. We're getting older, but the spirit on the inside of you can stay at a state of infancy and never grow unless you feed it and you develop it. Now, this is something that just hit me. I mean, like a ton of bricks. We've got so many Christians in the world and doing exactly what I just said, that they're trying to develop their spirit. What do you know about making worlds? What do you know about the things of God. What in the world do you know about breathing life into something that has no life? What do you really know about calling things that do not exist into existence? What do you know about before the world ever was really here? What do you know about angels? Let's put it on something like that. What do we know about anything other than the glimpse, the shadow of what we see from the scriptures? And you can develop, you say, well, this is the way I need to be. I need to be like this. This is the way it ought to be. Oh, so-and-so, he's like that, and so I ought to be like that too. Well, you're just taking your head and your carnal self and your natural self and trying to develop yourself into this person. I mean, it may be a good person. It may be nice. But that's not what develops a spirit on the inside of you. What develops a spirit on the inside, the only thing that can develop and grow the spirit on the inside of you, the real you, is the Word of God. Hebrews 4 says that the Word of God is life to you. Paul said, the Apostle Paul said, that when I'm feeding you, he said, I've been feeding you milk, but I desire to feed you meat. I'm paraphrasing that, but he said, y'all been drinking on me because you've just been going over the same basic elements of truth of the Word. Now, you got to understand something. It's not just the Word. It's God's Word. So you can read a book on, oh, what do we want to call it on? Developmental behavior. Right? And you can read all about how you should be nice. And then when something happens to you, your natural man is going to want to react. You know, because you're naturally made out of dirt, so your natural man is going to want to react to an anger or jealousy or envy or bitterness or whatever the normal carnal things are in life. Doesn't mean you're a bad person, but that's what your flesh, dirt acts like dirt. Okay? So it's going to act like that. And then your head will say, well, you know, you're not ought to act. You shouldn't act like that because that's not really the way you should act. And, you know, good people don't do that and Christian people don't do that. And we shouldn't do that. Your mama taught you better than that. Am I right? But none of that has really any effect because all that's trying to do is restrain the flesh. But when the real you on the inside of you, the real Spirit of God that you have developed on the inside of you, comes up with the Word, the answer, the solution for that moment, then that's what breathes life into the problem, breathes life into the situation. That's what comes up and rises on the inside of you. And life goes into it, and all of a sudden it's like, whew, the Ruach of God comes out of you into that situation, and everything begins to change. But Christians don't always develop that. We develop our mind, we look, we read, we study, and say, well, we try to develop ourselves of how we should be. Who said Christians couldn't wear Harley shirts? You know, Pastor Randy, when he was here, not just here the other day, but when he was here originally as a pastor of the church, one of the first things he told me I need to do is to shave my mustache off. And there was a few years there, about 7 years, I went clean shaven because he said it wasn't professional. It wasn't really the way that it should be in Christian circles. You know, you didn't need to be clean shaven. And I thought it was the dumbest thing I'd ever heard in my life, but I worked for him. He was the boss, and that's what he said, and I had to do it. I did it. So when he came here the other day and he had his little mustache and his little goatee, I said, hey, what's up with that? And he just looked at me and he said, you know, it's funny how over the years you just grow and mature and realize that things that you thought were right weren't. And I just laughed. I was like, yeah, you know, I could have told you you're wrong back then. It didn't have anything to do with the maturity of my spirit. It just had to do with something didn't set right with me. That just because somebody made a rule that that's what we should do, because I couldn't find it in the Bible. I couldn't figure out how come everybody was bearded in the Bible, but it was wrong to be bearded now. Right? It didn't take too much for me to figure that one out. I said, well, I don't know. But I guess if that's what, you know, they won't find. And that was what his rule was. It didn't make any difference. I did it. And I wasn't mad about it. But as soon as he left, I grew one. because I saw it completely different. But that doesn't mean, you know, y'all with me here. You can have the rules of man and trying to live by the rules of man, that even though they may be a good set of rules, but that's not what's going to get you free when trouble comes. That's what I'm talking about. I'm not talking about etiquette here. I'm talking about getting free when the lion is coming through the jungle at you, what you do at that moment. Right? One thing in life I hate snakes. I hate snakes. I wouldn't say I have a fear of snakes. I just hate them. And I see a snake, 99% of the time, I kill it. Now, I've gotten to where later in my life, the blue indigos and some of those I leave alone because I know they're good snakes, but I make them get out of my way, man. You get on over there. I don't like you, don't trust you, I just, you know, whatever. And so, I've just, my whole position about a snake is when I see a snake, there ain't no good snake. Y'all with me? I mean, I've convinced myself that you leave that one alone, but I'm just saying, somebody says, oh, snakes are not bad. I said, get away from me. I don't care what you're doing. Don't touch him. Come over there, no snake. I shoot him right out of your hand, man. I ain't going to mess with that kind of stuff. Y'all with me? That's my attitude. My whole being is about, I, there's no way. I'm already setting poison away. And I got good reason to be. Lucifer always came to like a snake. And besides that, I just don't want to get bit. Right? But we got Christians walking around who aren't prepared for the devil to attack at any moment. They blunder through life, getting hit from one side of the head to the other side of the head, never realizing that, you know, the scriptures tell us that you have an adversary, you have an enemy. You have a deadly sniper out there in the tree that wants to take you out every day, every moment of every second of your life. And the only way to beat him is you got to be smarter. And the only way to be smarter is to get into the spirit and to develop your spirit so that you're aware of things that need to come up and you need to do. As long as you try to live in your head, as long as you try to follow man's rules, as long as you try to follow man's etiquette, you're going to miss it because it doesn't apply to every situation. But you got to develop the spirit on the inside of you. The only way to develop the spirit on the inside of you is you've got to get the word. The spirit feeds on the word. You develop and grow in the word. You develop and grow in your faith when you stand on the word for situations. You need to find things to be praying about, even if everything's okay with you. Because as you release your faith, as you stretch yourself, I mean, you can't just live in your world. Find somebody else to pray for. Everything's going pretty good with you. Find somebody else to pray for. You're not sick. Find somebody that's sick to pray for. Everything's going good. You're not going through a hard time. Fine. Find somebody that is going through a hard time. Pray for them. Because by you taking then the word that you've learned and making it active and speaking it out, that's the whole developmental stages of getting your spirit to grow. When you keep everything in, nothing grows. It's got to go out. It's got to be released. You can have all the pretty thoughts you want to, all the holy thoughts you want to, all the good thoughts you want to, all the word thoughts you want to, but nothing comes out of your mouth and nothing spoken to another human being who's a living spirit. Then I want to tell you something, then you're not growing. You're not growing at all. That's how we grow. That's how we develop. By getting to the ability to where we can release that same breath that God breathed in us into other situations. Because that's what it is. You're just making the transfer of the creation that hovered over you when the invisible created, worked, and moved into the visible. When he worked in you in the creation, the Spirit of God hovering over the face of the earth and bringing forth the earth and all. Now he's hovering over you and he's coming through you and he breathed in you and you breathed out and now you're breathing in and breathing out. You're breathing in God, you're breathing in the Word, and you're breathing out. Same process begins to work and develops your spirit, makes you strong on the inside. If you want to know how strong you are on the spirit on the outside, the Bible says if you faint in the day of adversity, then your faith is small. Mine is not so much of me fainting in the day of adversity. Mine is I don't have enough patience to wait. Twice today, the Lord already told me, he said, don't worry, just wait. So, yeah, just tie my hands, Lord. I mean, it's a curse to say that. And then one of the times that the Holy Spirit said to me, he said, don't get mad, just wait. And I was like, well, I already got mad. Now I have to get unmad and, you know, repent about that and get back mad so I can get back on. And then by the time I went through my process of repenting for what I'd done and gotten mad and asking the Lord to forgive me and saying, Lord, you're going to make it happen, it happened. You know, and it was like, wow, if I'd have just waited, I wouldn't have gone through what I did over there and gone through that, you know. But I just waited just a little bit. And that's the most difficult things is because, you know, we want things to happen instantly. We don't have to wait for anything. We want it to happen instantly. We don't want anything to be, you know, we want it now. Right? So, when he said here, and let's just go to one more thing here. Let's go look at one more scripture. Go over to 1 Corinthians chapter 15. In 1 Corinthians 15, verse 45. He says, and it was written, the first man, Adam, became a living being, and the last Adam became a life-giving being. Spirit. However, the spiritual is not first, but the natural, and afterwards the spiritual. So you're born in this show. You're living in this earth suit, right? You're living in this earth suit, walking around for the only reason and only purpose is to house the Spirit of God on the inside of you. The real you. The real Robert Richards. It's inside of me. Inside of this earth suit. This is not really me. It's just my earth suit that I'm walking in. It's the lot that I got dealt in life. The real me on the inside of me is the Spirit of God on the inside of me that falls into what happens, says right here in verse 50. He says, now this I say, brethren, that flesh and blood cannot inherit the kingdom of God. I can't go to heaven in my earth suit. Nor does corruption inherit incorruption. I tell you a mystery. We should not all sleep, but we should all be changed. In a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trump, for the trump shall sound, and the dead will raise first incorruptible, and we shall be changed. For this corruption must put on incorruption, and the mortal must put on immortality. So the trumpet of God is the release mechanism to turn your spirit on the inside of you loose from your body. All right? Now think about that. That's wild. That's wild. It's the release mechanism, the trumpet of the Lord. When the trumpet of the Lord goes forth, then we're going to be changed in the twinkling of an eye. You know, and I don't know how it's going to happen. Do y'all remember that old movie, Invasion of the Body Snatchers? No? Y'all didn't watch those things? You didn't watch Invasion of the Body Snatchers? Oh, come on. It was so old, it wasn't even scary. But, you know, basically the storyline was is the aliens came to Earth and they were in pods and the pod was put there. And then as you went to sleep, then the pod began to make another you. And then, you know, it snatched your body and basically your other shell withered and went away, and then this is the new show. It looked just like you. It was in a human form and everything, but it wasn't you. And everybody looked like they were the same person, but they weren't the real same person because they were the alien now, and there was only a few people left that weren't snatched. Right? Y'all with me? Did you watch it, Frankie? Okay. So, think about this. It's going to be something like that. The trumpet of the Lord sounds. And it's a release mechanism on the inside of you. Pops open and man, you fly out. Everybody always says it's a shofar. The shofar will blow from heaven. Doesn't say the shofar. This is the trumpet of the Lord. I don't know what it's going to sound like. You know? Maybe. But it's a release mechanism. When that sound from heaven hits your natural ears, the earth falls off and the spirit man flies off. Right? That's how real it is. So I don't want to be wrapping myself all up in this physical when it's going to fall off anyway, and I'm flying away. I want to be dealing with the real guy, the real Robert, building him, strengthening him. Amen? Because what's going to come, and then look at verse 57, and thanks be to God. Thanks be to God who gives us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. Therefore, beloved brethren, be steadfast, immovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, knowing that your labor is not in vain in the Lord. He always gives us the victory. Amen? So when you stay in the Spirit, you're always going to have victory. You just got to get the breath of God blowing on that situation. And the victory is yours. Amen? Go ahead and turn to the person beside him and make a little trumpet sound. Doot, doot. All right. Well, praise God. It'll be fun.